Tonight's lesson will come from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Good evening. Good evening. There we go. That's much better. The heat is draining us of our energy, probably. It is warm, but I'm thankful we are all back. It's a nice, cool building. Blessed to be here. I always thought about those of old that met in those unair-conditioned buildings, especially in the heat of the South. I don't know how one, because I probably have become so spoiled with the air conditioning. And two, I don't know how the preachers got up with a suit and a tie and how they got the stains out of the collars after they were done, because it would be warm. But I'm thankful that you're here. You know, in any time of life, it's always good time to take a pause and just take a big spiritual inventory of ourselves as we consider maybe personal improvements that we can make in our lives. You know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, he says, test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Think back to the Old Testament story of Joshua. He was leading the Israelites into Canaan, the land that God had promised them. Under this great leader of Israel, God's army suffered only one defeat in conquering all of Canaan. The battle was at a place called Ai. It wasn't a stronghold, but Israel essentially self-destructed because they had sin in their camp. If you recall the story, Israelites had just defeated Jericho, and there were spoils to be had, and the Israelites plundered those spoils. But there were restrictions. God commanded them that only certain of the spoils they could keep. Other parts of the spoils, those were to be set aside for God. They were holy. Well, unfortunately, one of the Israelites, Achan, coveted some of those items that were to be set apart for the Lord, and he hid them under his tent. And because of his action, about 36 good men died in fighting Ai. You can read the story in Joshua chapter 7. God would not fight for Israel until they corrected the problem. And the sentence was severe. Achan and his family were stoned to death. Then Israel went back to the battlefield. And as they approached Ai, I have to think, were some of them wondering, can we be victorious after we were defeated so soundly just so recently? Can we still overcome and win this battle and defeat Ai? Of course, we know the answer was yes. They won the battle very decisively the second time. But this evening, I just want us to think about, you know, there are times when we suffer defeat spiritually, almost like Ai becomes our spiritual AI. As this evening we spend our time together, I just want to think about four things that can help bring us victory at our spiritual AI. First, yesterday's loss or yesterday's defeat doesn't doom today. Yesterday's loss or defeat doesn't doom today. You know, Christianity suffered its apparent losses in the minds of men. Christ was crucified on the cross. He was killed. The apostles were beaten. Some of them were killed. We read about in Acts chapter 8 that the church was scattered due to persecution. But God always won in the end. Jesus was resurrected, Mark chapter 16, verse 6. The apostles were instrumental in carrying the gospel across the entire world, Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. And even after the persecution and the scattering, the church multiplied in number, Acts 9:31. You know, as Christians, as individuals, we have setbacks as well. You know, we may have gone back to a bad habit. We may have disappointed our family with some of our actions. We even may have failed at a job, just not performed well at all. Possibly have even backslidden from the Lord. We know we all make mistakes. Maybe a little more lighthearted look at some mistakes. One church bulletin reported that everyone enjoyed the sinning, S-I-N-I-N-G, instead of singing, S-I-N-G-I-N-G. Kind of missed the G there. Unfortunate, innocent mistake, but certainly set the wrong tone for the message. A Brotherhood publication listed the Golf Course Church of Christ in Midland, Texas, as God's course road. Another unfortunate one, probably that spell check thing that works automatically as nobody caught it. And around the first of the year, a barbershop advertised Happy New Year instead of Happy New Year. So hopefully not a reflection of their capabilities. But innocent mistakes. But we all make mistakes from time to time. Someone once had the following wish. I wish there was some wonderful place called the land of beginning again, where all of our mistakes and all of our heartaches and all of our poor selfish grief might be dropped like a shabby old coat at the door and never be put on again. There is such a place, and that place is here. It's the church. It's God's kingdom on earth, where those who have responded to the gospel message have accepted the offer of salvation. And there is such a time, and that time is now. Time is now. If you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Here we see Paul writes, "And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you. And on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Paul's telling the Corinthians there that the day of salvation and the acceptable time have already come through the appearance of Jesus Christ and the offer of salvation through him. So we can see victory can follow defeat. Victory can follow defeat. You know, we all need to start over fresh. Start anew. If you think about what's said in Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, there's a scene that's set there where there's a throne set in heaven and a voice which says, "And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new." Have you ever spent time thinking about all the things God has already made new? He's already made new. The Bible speaks of a new covenant. Remember, the old covenant carried a curse, Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. So Christ gave us a new covenant, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. And under this new covenant, it says he will be merciful to our iniquities and he will remember our sins no more. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. The Bible speaks of a new man or a new creature. In Christ, we are new creatures, where our life can be made over again. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20, the Bible speaks of a new way. And we know that new way leads to a new heaven and a new earth. Revelations chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. It's where we, as faithful Christians, will enjoy God's promise that everything will be made new. Everything will be made new. We can't let yesterday's loss or stumble doom our lives today. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9 tells us that as faithful Christians, we have the ability to confess our sins and receive forgiveness whenever we suffer a spiritual setback. Again, don't let yesterday's loss, yesterday's defeat, doom today. Secondly, we don't want to stumble over the same stone twice. Right? We don't want to stumble over the same stone twice. You know, Joshua and Israel made sure they solved the Achan problem before they returned to Ai. They removed and made sure that sin was removed from the camp. And again, a theme throughout this message, we all make mistakes. But we don't want to keep making the same mistakes. The Greeks used to say that stumbling is a human flaw, but it's disgraceful to stumble over the same stone twice. David Lusk, an author, tells the story of two hunters who flew deep into the Canadian wilderness in search of elk. And they were successful in their hunt. The pilot came back at the appropriate time. So when they started home, the pilot saw that they had four elk there. And he told him, "Well, the plane can only carry two." The hunters protested. And they said, "The plane last year was exactly like this one. And we had six elk then. Six elk." So they went back and forth. Finally, the pilot he reluctantly agreed to try it. So they loaded up and they took off. Well, unfortunately, the plane didn't have sufficient power to climb out of the valley with all that weight, and it crashed. Fortunately, no one was seriously injured. A lot of bumps and bruises and scrapes. And as they stumbled out of the wreckage, one of the hunters turned to the other and he said, "Do you know where we are?" And the other hunter responded, "Well, I'm not really sure, but I think we're about 2 miles from where we crashed last year." Well, you know, we should learn from our mistakes and not continue to make them. You know, life is a struggle. It is a struggle. It can be very, very challenging at times. But we don't want to keep crashing into the same forest. The Hebrew writer tells us to remove the ensnaring sin in our lives. In our reading this evening, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us," we talked about Moses being one this morning, he said, "let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." So the Hebrew writer is telling us that preparation is required for the Christian race. We need to rid ourselves or take off two things. One, every encumbrance. Any impediment that would keep us from running as fast as we can. And secondly, the sin which so easily entangles us. And the imagery there is someone that's wearing a long robe that gets wrapped around their legs and entangles them, causing them to stumble or to fall while they're trying to run. We need to take both every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, take that off. You know, for us not to stumble over the same stone twice, maybe some changes need to occur in our lives. Maybe some changes need to occur. We may need a new set of friends. And there's nothing wrong with having friends that are outside the church. In fact, it's a good thing if we can be a good influence on them and influence them for Christ. The difficulty becomes when their worldly lifestyle becomes an influence on us. And we need to heed Paul's warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, where he says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." We may also need some good influences in place of those old bad habits that we had. You know, Peter states in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, that we are to turn away from all the desires for self-satisfaction that lead us away from God. He says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul." Over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul tells us, "For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to each other, so that you may not do the things that you please." Those fleshly desires, those old bad habits, need to be rid. We need to get rid of those and replace those with good things, good influences. Later on in Galatians chapter 5, Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And those are things we can strive to replace those old bad habits with. We should spend more time in prayer. And I appreciate Gary's prayer speaking to that specifically. You know, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, three words: pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Paul's instructing that all Christians need to continually pray to God with thanksgiving, with concerns, asking for help to overcome the sin that's causing us to stumble. Prayer helps us to build our relationship with God and also our reliance on Him. As faithful Christians, we've been promised that the Lord will answer our prayers and He will work all things together for our spiritual good. Romans 8:28. Maybe another change, we might need to spend more time studying God's Word. Maybe another one that we can all benefit from. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, Peter tells us that we should long for the pure milk of the Word so that we will grow in God's Word towards our ultimate salvation. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he also states God's Word provides all that we need for life and godliness, how to live and how to be pleasing to God. The Hebrew writer talks about this as well in Hebrews chapter 5. When he's exhorting those Christians who have not grown in the Word. And in chapter 5, verse 14, he states, "But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." By continually digging into the Word and studying the Word, and most importantly, maybe using what we learn, making application of it in our lives, Christians can begin to discern between good and evil, and we can live lives that are pleasing to God. Maybe another change, maybe we need to train our minds to focus on spiritual things. You know, the mind tends to wander. Maybe yours is wandering right now. Hopefully not. But the mind does tend to wander. Paul, in addressing the Philippians, wanted them to focus their thoughts on edifying things, spiritual things. And not just as a mental exercise, but because it helps to shape our actions. What we think about helps shape our actions, to help us live as God wants us to. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, Paul writes, "The things which you have learned and received and you have heard and you have seen in me, practice these things. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Paul tells them to practice these things, which implies repeating an action over and over and over again until it just becomes natural. It takes a lot of work to focus on the positive and to do what we should be doing. It takes work. But as we think about maybe some things we might need to change or the changes that might need to occur in our own lives, maybe a couple questions to consider. Are we willing to change our lives for the good of our souls? Are we willing to change our lives for the good of our souls? Or will we just keep sinning and watching ourselves crash into the same forest every year. You know, for most of us, it's not a new road that we need, but a new determination to travel the one that actually lies before us. Thirdly, those who are successful, maybe champions, they always get up one more time than they fall. Those who are successful get up one more time than they fall. You know, for professional sports teams, an undefeated season in football, it's a rarity. And in the U.S., it's never occurred for basketball or baseball or hockey. We've talked a few times about how every Christian makes mistakes. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we regret those mistakes. Peter is one that we may recall making mistakes that he regretted. You can think about the story that's recorded in Luke chapter 22, verses 45 through 61, where he denied Christ, and then he went out and wept bitterly. It must have tore him apart with what he just did. Must have just cut him to the quick. But he bounced back. He got back up again because in Acts chapter 2, he preached the first gospel message, which resulted in about 3,000 souls being saved. And we can bounce back as well. We can bounce back as well. You know, if someone has forsaken the Lord, they shouldn't give up hope. Should not give up hope. That person can still return and live for Christ, and they live as a Christian, a very successful Christian life. It is possible. It is possible. If you've lost your fervor or your zeal for Christ, you can get it back. You can get it back. If the devil has led us down sin's road, and he's very adept at doing that. Our adversary is very adept at leading us down sin's road. You can return, just as the prodigal son did in Luke chapter 15. If you feel defeated, if you feel despondent in your spiritual life, just remember, AI shows that there can be victory where there was once defeat. There can be victory where there was once defeat. We can have victory in turning our lives around, breaking those bad habits, and refocusing our lives on God. Many Christians have conquered sinful habits by continually saying and repeating and practicing the words Paul writes to us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because of Christ's strength in us, this verse gives us the assurance that if the Lord asks us to do something, we can do it. We can do it. And He will help us to do it. There can be victory where there was once maybe defeat, and even soul winning. Keep on inviting that family member, friend, the neighbor, the co-worker to the worship services. Keep studying with that person. Because the next invitation that you give him may be the one that they accept. The next study may be the one that reaches them and converts them. Their souls are just too valuable to give up on. As Christians, you know, if we stumble, if our zeal for Christ has been diminished, we need to keep getting up. Just keep getting up and continue the fight. And Christ will provide the strength we need. Christ will provide that strength that we need. And then finally, just real quickly, number four, we need to make sure we need to pick the right team to be on. We want to pick the winning team. We want to pick the right team to be on. Abraham Lincoln was asked during the Civil War, are you sure God is on your side? His thoughtful reply was, I'm not so concerned if God is on our side, but whether we are on God's side. As Christians, we don't have to worry about who will win, because God will win. We have absolute certainty of that. God will win. We need to concern ourselves with being on His side, because this is where our victory is going to come from. So this evening, as we contemplate maybe some very important changes that might need to occur in our spiritual lives, want you to think about just a few verses. Let me read to you just a few verses to consider. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:37. But in all things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. James 5:16. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Hopefully we'll enjoy a victory in Jesus on an old battleground this year. Hopefully some of these points will help us. You know, if this evening, if there are things you've been stumbling with, you feel defeated, feel discouraged, if there's anything spiritually that we can help you with, we certainly would love to come, for you to come forward. Let us surround you with love to pray with you and pray for you, to help you and encourage you along your walk. There may be some that might be ready to put on the Lord in baptism. I'll remind you of Acts chapter 22, verse 16, when it says, "Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name." If there's anything we can do for you spiritually, please come forward now as we sing you in song of invitation.